Hello, welcome to You Haven't Blanked That. I'm Forrest.
And this is Jimmy.
Forrest.
Hey, Jimmy.
So this week we watched a little movie called Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Part of George Roy Hill Month.
Yeah. So let's see. In the 1890s, Wyoming, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid led a band of outlaws. When a train robbery goes wrong, they find themselves on the run with a posse hard on their heels. After considering their options, they escape to South America.
So, I dug this. I like this. Not my favorite Western.
Yeah, I don't really call it a Western because it's not really... It happened in the time, but it's not...
Well, here's the thing is, I got from that first scene where he's playing cards and they're...
Oh, and that sepia tone?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It felt very Fight Club-y to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like... If we didn't know that these were two real people,
uh-huh.
Like, you could have made a Fight Club thing. I felt like it was very Fight Club-y to me, where they're, like, speaking for each other and, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that whole dynamic was very Fight Club-y.
Like, you should ask us to stay.
Yeah. And then, like, getting to... up to when they got to where they were, they're like, we don't want you to be the fucking leader anymore. Like, from there to that scene, it's very Fight Club-y to me.
Yeah. How great was that, like, fighting for the dominance of leadership?
Yeah.
That was pretty dope. It was like, hold on, you gotta talk about rules first, and kicks him the balls.
Yeah.
And he goes, quick, someone count 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3! And he just whacks him with the fucking hands.
This is very much a movie of its time, though, because Edith Head does all the costumes, and she was, like, the big costume person.
Oh, okay.
William Goldman wrote it. Yep. William Goldman also wrote The Princess Bride.
Oh, okay.
And have you
seen Marathon? That kind of explains the beats that it took. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Marathon Man?
No.
With Dustin Hoffman. It's like a 70s movie. It was made after this.
Yeah, no, never saw it.
And it's a good little thriller from the 70s. Okay. And he's getting away from Nazis. I think it's what it was, like, Nazis, something Nazi-related, like, German, like a Nazi, and, like, he's a dentist, and there's a whole fucking, like, tooth pulling scene and shit.
Oh, really? That sounds cool.
I think, it's been a minute since I've seen it, but it's insane. I also, Burt Bacharach.
Oh, yeah.
Was the, Burt Bacharach, I don't know why I say it like the fucking card game. Anyway, it was funny because when I watched this, I've been listening to, there's an Elvis Costello and Burt Bacharach album because they did a lot of stuff together.
Okay.
So there's a big box set, and I was listening to that like around this when I was watching this.
Okay.
But
did you watch it alone or did
I watched it by myself? Nobody wanted to watch either of these movies with me.
Really, like this one's not like I figured it should be all about it with Paul Newman because
he's a racer and I'm all that's why I'm always like, you like Paul Newman, like I've fucking shown you like the best Paul Newman movies and you're always like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know the between the two of them, fantastic. Like they do have a lot of charm together.
I wish they did, because I only think they did the two movies, right?
Yeah, I think it was only two. But, like, overall, like, I think the story is just, like, it speaks a lot more of, like, the Westerns as well. You know what I mean? Because, like, you get this whole thing where it's, like, this was at the time where the Wild West was at its end. Like, that was it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Wild Bill was still doing shows, but even then, they were all downhill from there.
Yeah, I've done actually done a lot of research on this part because it's something I'm working on. I've been working on like off and on, but I've done a lot of research about that time because.
Well, Bill, by the way, when he died, it was during the wintertime, so they stored his body for 6 months, like at this like one like mortuary place, which is now a restaurant, and it's called the Lingering Hotel or the Lingering Restaurant. So you can actually go and dine at like the place where Wild Bill was like kept, which is well
they've cleaned it in the last fucking 100 years.
Yeah, right. Or maybe like his fingers are still in the fridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? But like, yeah, no, but like, it's the. This is the time where the West is on its way out. People are like, you know, wanting to like step away from all that. You get these two icons of the West, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, not the real names. But like, it gets to the point where like they're run out of America. You know what I mean? Which is basically like as all the cowboys at the time were running out.
Well, that whole part where they're trying to rob in fucking in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't speak Spanish. So yeah. They didn't know what the fuck they were saying.
But like, they're also like running away from like their death too. You know what I mean? Because like, it's one of those where it's like, as much as they tried to change their ways, they're never going to change their ways. They're habits of creatures. So they're being stuck robbing all these like banks and trains and whatnot. But like, you get this looming sense of death always following them throughout their entire, through almost like half the movie, because like they know they're gonna, like, they're running on their last breath, and like you get this weird like a thruple situation.
Yeah, there's a whole with that. There is a weird like thruple situation where they're like, where she's kind of going back and forth between them.
So that speaks more volumes to their friendship than anything else. You know what I mean? Because so, like, she, because so she,
like,
you think
it was a low key, like they were fucking wobbly H-ing her.
I don't think that was alluded to how they were, because they weren't that way at all. But she honestly loved the two of them, like, you know, independently in their own different ways. But like, to have that non jealousy between the two men.
Did you ever see that Wonder Woman movie? The guy who made Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah, he was like
Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. Have you ever seen that movie?
No, I haven't seen the. I know about him where he was like
They had like a fucking third.
Yeah.
Like him and his wife had a third, and that's what the movie was about him having a third. Then like,
I don't see a problem being a third. Most people kind of look down on it because they're like, "What are you doing?" Because they take it to an extreme, which is really never the case. But no, like it's
what you mean? People get it wrong and make things up.
Very much so, but it's
what's that like?
But it's one of those where it's
American
like
American politics.
But it's one of those where it's like it's they were trying to push the limit because like it, honestly like that was true. Like she was in love with the two of them, you know? And so it was one of those where it's like, where do you take that? You know, I mean, especially like for the movie at its time, and they didn't shy away from it because they were very much like she was in bed with
both of them at one point.
Sundance, and then he comes by with a bike and takes her on the bike, and then he even jokes about her. Is like, oh, what are you doing? He goes, stealing your girl. He goes, yeah, take her. You know what I mean? But it's throughout the entire time, like they're very kind of blasé with the relationship, which kind of leaves it very open to be like whatever you want to do. Because honestly, They're both criminals. They're both going to die at any given moment. You know what I mean? So, like, she's just making sure that she's
set,
taken care of for the future.
Yeah.
And regardless of, like, these two dudes that are close, they're, like, almost like brothers, but at the same time, they don't hate each other, but they slightly resent each other, which is...
Yeah, it was this weird, like, they keep... I don't think this invented the buddy comedy as much as they... The buddy-type movie as much as they said.
No. Yeah.
Like there, that was the big thing I keep reading about. This, like, oh, it's like the first buddy comedy type movie. I think like Lethal Weapon is the first best one.
Yeah,
like that's the first one that does it well.
Yeah,
I think that you know what I mean. Like you have to figure out both those dynamics. I mean, there's other like duos, but I don't think. It wasn't like when I think of buddy cop movies, like buddy movies like that, they're not supposed to be buddies at first.
Yeah, they're supposed to be hate each other, deal with each other. Then it's that whole separate, and then they come back.
But the work brings them together. Yeah. Like whatever their case is,
yeah,
that brings them together. they were already brought together in this movie because they're robbing banks and trains and shit already. Like there's not that arc that it needs.
Right. But, like, I mean, it's, I feel like if they try to gloss over a lot of years in, like, this one movie, and I think they do a pretty good job, but, like, there's a lot of it that it's kind of cut off.
Yeah.
And then, like, the ending, I was, because there's, like, the ending, do you know how he actually died?
That ending, that whole part right there?
Yeah.
That standoff reminds me of that first episode in the fucking Mandalorian.
Oh, okay, yeah, I see that.
I mean, I know John Favreau borrows from everywhere.
Yeah.
But so, that's where that whole first, where they're having that shootout with him and the robot, and it reminds me of that.
So, do you know how he actually died? You do?
I do not.
Oh, okay. So, basically, that shootout happened. You know, I mean, they were surrounded, and they were shooting out, and, like, they were, like, Sundance got shot, and then they ended up escaping, and they, like, were... I think they made it to, like, some, like, abandoned shack somewhere in the desert. And when they were there, the posse ended up figuring out where they were, and they heard two shots in the night. So when they got to the cabin, it was Sundance had a shot to the forehead between the eyes, and Cassidy had a temple wound to the side of his head. So obviously they figured
they just shot themselves.
But... most people actually, throughout, like, for decades after, like, their death, people would still say that they've seen Butch still running around. So there was all this speculation whether it was really Butch Cassidy, the Sundance, that died. Obviously, Sundance died from the bullet wound eventually at some point. But they don't know if those bodies were the two of them. And Butch lived a longer life after, like, the whole thing. But yeah, dude, like, it's which honestly I'm glad they didn't go that route, because that would have been too dark, especially for this movie, because it was very lighthearted. Especially
for a movie who in the credits pop, you know, touts the song Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head,
which I always thought was such a weird song to put in the movie. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I get what you're trying to do, because you're trying to show these happy times, and it's a great song for it, but I feel like, I don't know, maybe this is where music just changes everything, you know what I mean? But overall, like, I liked it. I always thought it was a good movie. Not my favorite Paul Newman film.
No, the thing with George Roy Hill is I feel like, they always say that movies should have peaks and valleys, and I feel like his valleys go on a little too long.
I feel like these are, all these, like, little segments are just slightly detached from, like, the story. You don't really feel too involved with them.
Funny Farm is like that. Did you ever see Funny Farm?
No.
Chevy Chase movie?
Uh-uh.
It's a little bit like that. He's a sports writer, wants to move to the fucking country. And, like, that one's more vignettes. I kind of like how Vacation was.
Okay.
But, like, his movies, like, even in Slapshot, there's all these great parts in Slapshot, but then there's a good 45 minutes of, like...
Lull,
exactly. Yeah. And, like, just okay. Like, no hockey's happening. It's a lot of story and stuff. And I think Slapshot's longer than both of these.
Yeah.
Both the ones we watched this month. Because there's how many... That first, like, 30 minutes of Slapshot is fucking solid.
Oh, yeah. And then you get that whole love scene that who's the owner, and then you're... doing this whole
That stuff I like too, like trying to figure out who's the owner and all that.
Yeah.
But like, there's all this shit in the middle of it that, like, kind of it. The whole story with Michael and Keaton and the wife and the dog, all that, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's been a minute since I watched Slapshot all the way through.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll go back and do that.
Yeah, but overall, like, I remember liking this movie, but...
What's your favorite Paul Newman movie?
Oh, man. Cat in a Hot Tin Roof.
That's a good one.
Like, everything about that movie from beginning to end, solid.
What's Fine Sweet Bird of Youth? Same type. It's another... I think it's another Tennessee Williams. And it's Paul Newman. Same type of story. Sweet Bird of Youth is what it's called. I watched that one around the same time as I watched Cat in a Hot Tin Roof, because there was a bunch of, like, early Paul Newman and fucking Tennessee Williams. I think it's Tennessee. I'm like 80% sure it's Tennessee Williams also. Because I was going through that Spielberg list, and both those movies were on there. I'm like 80% sure. It's written by Tennessee Williams. I don't think it's directed by, but at least written by.
I don't know. I'll get to it.
That one's good. I think mine is probably Slapshot, despite the, you know, the boring middle of it.
Yeah, no, the Slapshot's a good. It is a Tennessee Williams.
Yeah. That one's good. If you like Cat on Tin Roof, that one's good, too. A very close second for that as a Tennessee Williams. That would be my favorite. Yeah. Cat is probably my favorite Tennessee Williams, and that would be my second. And Martin Landau's in it. Martin Landau's really fun. Is it Martin Landau? No, Rip. It's either Martin Landau or Rip Torn are in it.
For which one? This one?
For Sweet Bird of Youth, yeah.
Let's see.
Or was he in Cat?
He was in Cat.
Okay, then maybe it's Martin Landau in this one. Somebody's in it that's like one of those actors, you know what I mean? Like, that's Rip Torn. Was that Sweet Bird or is that
Sweet Bird?
Okay, then yeah, it was Rip Torn. Kind of the same like vibe and everything too.
Yeah.
But it was good. That one was good too. I think my favorite is that. What's your favorite Robert Redford movie then?
That one I don't know. Like I don't know any off the top of my head off of him. I've seen him in a bunch of
different. I liked Sneakers as a kid. Remember Sneakers?
Oh yeah.
That one was a good one. I never saw The Natural, the baseball one.
Old Man with the Gun. You seen that one?
We did that on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I made you watch that movie.
I did like that movie.
That's the one I really like. That one I really like a lot. Old Man with the Gun.
Oh, I've seen Havana.
Which one?
Havana.
Oh.
A Bridge Too Far. Oh, yeah. That one's amazing.
Yeah.
The Great Gatsby. He was in that.
He was in that. Wasn't he Gatsby?
Wasn't he the boyfriend?
No, the boyfriend. Was he the boyfriend? I don't think he was the boyfriend. I thought he was Gatsby in that.
I'll tell you right now. Oh, yeah. He was Jay Gatsby. But yeah, overall, like it's one of those where it's like, this movie, I like it, but most people like love this movie.
My mom was like, oh, I fucking love that. She's like, my mom, when I told my mom we watched that movie, she's like, oh, I watch that movie whenever it's on. And I'm like, I'm happy I saw it, but like, there have been like 50 times I've passed that movie where I've been like, oh, maybe I should watch this. And then I'm like, no, I'm going to watch something else. That's why I was like.
I've always been that way for a while. And then I was trying to see this one girl, and then she invited me to a family barbecue, and then like after we were done eating, we were all in the living room, and then like it was on TV. It had to be on TV. And then like we sat down, we watched it, and I'm like, oh, this is cool, I haven't seen it. And they're like, oh, you missed 2 minutes. And I'm like, all right, because it was in the middle of the card scene. Oh, so I was like, okay.
But I will say that is one of my favorite scenes in a movie ever. But like, go on, sorry.
But overall, like, it was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm glad I saw it. Like, you know, it was fantastic. But I want more Paul Newman. I want more acting. I want more drama in, like, what I'm seeing.
This is the, okay,
I
so
feel
the,
like they were just kind of like
going back to the waterfall scene where they jump into the river. And
that was a great scene.
Okay. So, do you remember? Okay, I don't know if you saw this one. Did you see the after school special where they referenced this movie? Do you remember the after school special?
No.
Okay, I was trying to find it because I was like, I gotta see if I can find it. But what happens is, like, it's these kids that are running, and one of them starts doing steroids.
All right.
As they all are.
Yeah.
Kids are in track and they're doing steroids.
Like you do.
And then what happens is they were like really good friends from like growing up, and he's doing steroids, and the other friend's like, nah, I don't need that, man. I'm good. Yeah. And then like he's getting really like he's not like. I don't like my friend, but I'm disappointed in my friend.
Right.
And so he's just like, those things are going to mess you up, bro. Like they do. Yeah. like they do in those. And I think he has like a heart attack or something in the middle of a fucking race or something like that.
Yeah.
Like you do in like a after school special. And like, that was their thing. That was like their movie growing up was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and they call each other Butch and Sundance. it's like this really lame shake and bake fucking of like this like.
I feel like, Butch and Sundance should be the name for, like, a pseudonym for, like, Eskimo Brothers. You know what I mean? But, yeah, overall, like, I'm glad I rewatched it, but it was one of those where it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, if one of the kids were like, oh, I've heard about this movie, like, I'd watch it with them.
Yeah.
But, like, I think I'm good.
Yeah, like, the first 20 minutes, I'd watch that over and over again.
Yeah, that first scene, that from like the first scene to the fight,
yeah,
is a really good. I mean, it's a good.
What'd you think of the shootout at the end? I thought it was good, but it wasn't great. But here's
the thing: is we've seen like 50 million better shootouts since the 1960s.
That's very true.
But, I love the tension in that card scene. Like the tension, they do really good at bringing out tension. Well, but then they go into this comedy scene about. I mean, it's there's some comedy in it. Like, it's funny. And I think it's a really good way to contrast, like, if you're looking, I'm going to contrast these two scenes in different tones.
Yeah.
With the same characters and the same director, you know what I mean? Like, you can contrast it very well. But, like, I don't like that this is the scene we start with and that's where the scene goes. Well, like,
the way I always saw it was, like, the sepia tone is your image of the cowboy. Your image of, like, the stories of who they were. Right?
Okay.
Because it's very, like, very badass, very kind of cool. Then it comes back into color for reality because this is really how the relationship was. So you get that contrast between the, like...
That's
what I feel like the two of them are. So I'm like, okay, cool. So now we're getting
to know them kind as of people. Like, so it's kind of, it's like you're just them distincting between real life and legend.
Yeah.
So then why, then they should have done that more throughout the film then.
They should have. They tried to with the photographs... The little, like,
that
whatever.
Always looks so. But that didn't.
But then again, you have the photographs, and then you have that.
I would have liked that music contrast throughout the whole thing.
And yeah, no, for sure, because that would have been way better. And I feel like if they would have, I feel like they should leave this movie alone. Because if they try to redo it again, in the same kind of manner, no. Well, they kind. Well, I'll get to that in a second. But like, if they redid this movie again, I feel like that'd be a great kind of like thing to cut into all the film itself. But. I feel like they might placate into their relationship with the school mom way more than it needs to be. Because, you know what I mean? So, but they did make a new movie. It came out last year. It was Butch Cassidy and the Wild Bunch. And it mainly had to do with the Hole in the Wall gang. But it has an actor who was on Love is Blind, who is one of the contestants for one of the Bachelor shows or, like, you know, dating shows.
And, oh, it's a Tubi original.
Yeah, and I believe it's gotten terrible reviews. I tried to watch it, and I did not get very far in it. The actor seems like a nice guy. His acting is okay, but it's a Tubi production.
But there's actually decent people in the movie, though. Did you see? Like, Bruce Dern is in it.
Yeah, so...
And Dee Wallace...
It's okay.
And the Reanimator.
It's okay.
I don't know who this guy is.
But it's, I don't know. Like, you don't get the grittiness of, like, the West from it, which is fine.
But you don't get the grittiness from the West in this movie, except for that first scene.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would have been, they should have done a little bit more on that. Like, I feel like they should have gone back to that.
Overall, I don't think it's a bad film. No. I just think it's good. I'm glad I saw it. Seeing the two... of them together, they obviously liked each other. They obviously had
but did they like each other that much to where they were like? Because they only worked that two times.
Yeah, like, the chemistry I thought was great, but overall, like, I needed more of a. Because they were just kind of hanging out and joking around a majority of the time. You know what I mean, so it was like,
okay. Well, that's what they did. Like, apparently he was big. Paul Newman was big on pranks.
Yeah, I have heard that quite a bit about him. Yeah. But yeah, but we ask a question.
I don't want... I like Flat Nose, but I don't see anywhere else but to put him in anywhere else except Flat Nose, which is funny because he wants to be Michael Jackson really bad.
How about, the hunter, the tracksman that they talk about? Voldemort? Voldemold? Lord Vold?
Yeah. That's who you want him to be.
Just so I can see him like moonwalk through the desert chasing them after Butch and Sundance.
There's a lot of sand. My moves aren't smooth on sand. But
there's not that many real people around. You know what I mean? Yeah, like I kind of like. I don't know where I'd put him. I'll probably put him like as one of the bankers that they robbed in Mexico or whatever country they ran off to. But yeah.
So they can do some bad speaking Spanish really bad?
No, so I could have him turn around and his hair flip and have that one little string around his face. Jimmy.
Hey, Forrest. So what are you blanking?
Oh, jeez. What am I not blanking? Oh, my God. I'm watching everything. I saw Madam Web.
I'm going to throw it out. You know what I haven't blanked?
What's that?
Morbius.
I haven't watched it.
But you went on Madam Web?
I did see Madam
Web. How was that?
Oh, man. So if you take the acting
crap and you roll it up and shit.
It was ridiculous. You could tell at one point it had a decent story. Like, the script was probably decent. And they just didn't know what to do with it. But, like...
out of all the things to make a fucking movie of, you're like, oh, Madam Web's the one we're gonna make.
And the thing, they tease, like, the whole, like, the Spider-Women, you know what I mean? But, like, mm-hmm. You only get them... spoilers. You only get them in, like, flashback scenes. Like, once in the very, very beginning and once in the very end.
The Spider-Women
and then,
people?
Yeah. And then, so... But, like... It's I don't know. They tease you with like you got Ben Parker in the story. Spoilers, Uncle Ben.
No shit, really.
And then he's, he's about to have a baby at some point in the movie, and then they're like playing the games. So like I was like, oh, what's
Spider-Man's
this?
Dad,
this gets shit. the name of the baby, and then it's like, oh, is it so-and-so? No. Is it so-and-so? No. They're about to say Peter, and then, like, she gets these flashbacks. But, like, So, the way I see it, it's like, if you picture Scary Movie 2, right? And the bad acting that they, like, play off as, like, you know, like, because it's a funny movie, but it's still bad. Take that and just make it worse, and that's basically the acting chops of this movie. And it's a bummer because Sony tricked them. They told them, like, hey, like, FYI, this is going to be a Marvel-esque movie. But they heard Marvel, so they signed on to it to find out that they're not even involved.
Well, that's just their fault for not paying attention to the fucking trades.
Yeah, I blame their fucking managers on all that. But, yeah, it was terrible. I saw the movie Underdogs.
Underdog. Is it that stupid one with the... The one where they make fun of the trans people?
No, it's the Snoop Dogg one.
I didn't know. The football one?
It's on Prime. I finished Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You finished it? I'm not even caught up, although I'm still on season 11.
You're slacker, dude.
Because you know what it is? Is I, my time for TV and video games is early in the morning.
Okay.
And I've been using that time to go write.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, I can watch this or I can go do this.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing writing instead of, like, playing video games and, like, being a fucking writer.
I watched The Invisible Ray. Have you seen that?
What's that?
Dude, so The Invisible Ray is actually a badass movie.
So you're caught up to Curb and you're...
I'm done.
You're not done because...
There's nothing... unless the episode dropped today.
Season 12... So you're caught up to season 12. It's not done.
I am current.
You're current. Yeah. Okay. I will probably be current by the end of the season.
Okay.
I hope to be. That's kind of how it works out with a lot of the shows.
Yeah. But The Invisible Ray. Dude, this movie is amazing. It's got everybody in it. It has... this movie takes place... The movie was filmed in 1939. It's about this scientist... Yosef, who discovers like this weird special X-ray and this meteorite, and he can travel through time and he can see it, but being exposed to it, he gets like his body starts to glow, and then he becomes like this murderous killer, and it's like it starts off with like him in love with this betrothed to this woman, and this woman's in love with somebody else, and then like he thinks someone's gonna steal his like invention to go somewhere else, and he fixes his mother's like eyesight. Being that it's 1939, it is still a really well put together like movie. And then like, if you take the how much they paid then to now, it's like it'd be equal to a Marvel film. So like it's like the value. Yeah. Yeah. But like honestly, probably one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And then the other thing is you can't remake it now, the same like beat for beat, because they do travel through Africa and they have a lot of like black actors wearing loincloths, and then like they're just they call them very like stereotypical 1930s names. Ideas of names, and you're like, oh, you can't say that, bud. But it's honestly, I love that movie. I watched it on MeTV with Svengoolie.
Oh, they're showing Svengoolie. Are they new episodes of Svengoolie, or are they showing the old episodes?
They're mismatched for everything, so like it kind of depends on.
You watching it with your pops?
No, I used to watch it with my buddy's dad, and then it was like
your pops would be in the event.
He would, but he prefers Elvira. But yeah,
why is your dad prefer Elvira?
I don't know. She's just funny. She's just a lot funnier.
She's funnier, like twice as funny.
And then
twice as funny as Svengoolie, like big time twice as funny. like doubly funny.
So let's see.
Makes me want to go drive a motorboat for some reason. I don't know why.
So I also saw a documentary on HBO.
Which one?
The Truth of Jim. Have you heard of it?
No.
Oh, okay. So this is a documentary. It's a 4-episode documentary on HBO, about an hour episode. But this woman believes that her father,
Jim,
or her grandfather Jim, was the Santa Rosa hitchhiker killer. And then so she's interviewing her families and like pulling all these threads, and she's a reporter, so she's investigating. Like her dad ends up like it was known for like raping like young girls like 12, and that's the same age as the hitchhiker killer would murder. Yes. And then like he would like take there's one part where he took his stepson on a drive down this road, and he would point out like, hey, look, see right there, they found a naked dead woman right there that she was like bound and gagged and blah blah blah. And he was like, all these things just kind of lead you to believe that like he is the killer. But at one point of the episode, spoilers, she like tries to convince herself that he's also the Zodiac killer. And you're like, all right, bitch, you need to calm down. And then so, but like, honestly, I do believe that he did kill people.
But you don't think he's Santa Rosa?
I don't think he's the Santa Rosa hitchhiker killer. But really interesting documentary. Which is interesting too, because like, I was thinking like, if I knew they found a dead body somewhere, I would 100% point it out. You know what I mean? But also, what I found out on the 5 freeway and the 91 interchange, they dump bodies on that overpass all the time. So they don't dump it over the side of the freeway, so it lands in like the bushy area. They stop their car over that middle of the bridge, open it up, and push the bodies onto the side of the hazard way area, and then they drive off because there's no cameras up there. So it's like, holy shit. And so when I googled like, you know, how many murders happen around here, I'm like, or dead bodies they find a lot of dead bodies around here. It's crazy. I don't know why I'm so excited about that, but it's very intriguing. But yeah, dude, it's tripped me out.
All right then.
What have you been reading?
So I read a book called Mr. Magic. It's about this, like, kids' TV show, but it's not a kids' TV show, and it was fucking weird.
Is it a real show?
No. It was a fake one.
Yeah.
This book called The Mantis, so it's kind of like, did you see Bullet Train?
Yes.
Okay. So it's kind of in that same universe. There's, like, this book, and there's, like, there's some other books that are all in this fucking universe for that. It's, like, it's almost like John Wick-ish, okay. That universe is.
Yeah.
And so it's a side one about this guy who has a family and stuff, and he's living at home, but he's a hitman too. Oh,
okay.
And he gets his job from like this doctor, and the doctor's like, oh, well, this is your diagnosis, and that's what he has to go fucking kill. Ooh. And that's how you figure everything out. And then all this shit happens around it, and it was good. Yeah. It's like done in 5 parts. It's only like a 6-hour read. You would dig it. Yeah. But so now it made me want to go back and read Bullet Train.
Okay.
And there's one book before it, so I'm reading the trilogy backwards.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I was like, yeah, so I gotta check it out. Have you ever read The Golden Compass?
No.
Oh, I've
read the first book.
Years ago. I couldn't get into it.
I didn't like them.
You know what my beef is? So the guy who wrote them as a direct response to...
C.S. Lewis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can tell, because he's, if you've read the C.S. Lewis books, it's fucking contradictory to everything in those books.
Yeah.
And it's like, it would be a good story if it wasn't, wrapped in like spite.
Yeah. So I remember when the movie came out, like it got a resurgence again, obviously because everybody was all about it.
Well, there's a movie and there's a show they did.
There was a show
on HBO.
But I remember people being so like adamant, like, "Oh, this is so great! I'm an atheist and this is perfect, and like this is what a real fantasy story should be." I'm like, I mean, if you need to like find a book that like you know like justifies like your point of views, that's cool. Like, but
that one you're only getting it's your, out of spite. Like, yeah. It's not like there's this weird vibe on the text for me.
Yeah,
to that me, I just couldn't. I got halfway through and I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I just don't care.
Yeah, I think that's how I was. But my thing is just like, if you're gonna, I'd rather read something that I don't agree with just to kind of get the other side of it.
But that was my reason because I finally finished the Narnia books at the end of last year. So I'm like, oh, let's start this. And if it wasn't so fucking contradictory,
yeah,
like if it was just, I'm gonna write a story with this perspective, like there's a difference between perspective and argument.
Yeah, that book was all written purely for argument.
It was just a rebuttal.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, stop.
Yeah.
You dirty motherfucker. I read a book about Hitchcock making movies and stuff and how he would film them and how he writes and all this.
Oh, that's cool.
It was a good book. Called The Young Filmmaker's Guide to Hitchcock.
I'm sorry, Young Hitchcock, what?
Young Filmmaker's
Guide. Oh, okay. I just want to ask. Go ahead.
Jimmy.
Hey, Forrest.
Well, we're going to continue George Roy Hill month.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to watch a little movie called The Sting.
Ooh. I think I know this movie. It's the one with Jerry Seinfeld, right? And he has, like, he falls in love with a human lady. And like
he's we'll find out next week. Well, that's going to do it for the episode this week. If you have any questions or comments, you can hit us up at our Instagram
at yhblankthat,
or you can email us at yhblankthat@gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye.